I have always been fascinated by the concept of one size fits all. And these days, it is a little less popular. But still, how can one size fit all? In many cases, we don't all fit the same size. Let's talk about that as far as church and God goes right here on the Corner of Truth and Life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and in this episode, this week, we are continuing our series examining the church, how the church has changed over time, and what is true and what is kind of just more our cultural constructs, and are those things good or have they gotten in the way of us understanding what the Bible says? And over the last numerous episodes that we have been talking about this and how the culture has impacted the church and our understanding of church. And in what ways is that fine? In what ways is that less than helpful for us understanding how God relates to us and how we relate to Him through being the church? And so that's where we've been. And you can check out our previous episodes on iTunes or on our church website. And if you're listening to this on Sunday morning on KTJ, you can go back. Or if you're listening to this on your phone or other, whatever you listen to podcasts on. So now in our previous episode, we talked about the differences between being experts and being witnesses, and that so often church, and it's not, this is not limited to the biblical church, but to other churches and other religions, put an emphasis on sharing, which is not a bad thing at all. But in putting this emphasis on sharing, oftentimes to facilitate easy sharing or what we have thought would be effective sharing or what is thought to be effective sharing, a formula is introduced. And I'm not against these formulas, but a formula has been introduced. And we talked about in the previous episode that you kind of get on this track, and then if you get led off this track, well, then you're in trouble, because now maybe I'm not prepared for the questions. And last week we talked about that's the problem with trying to be an expert rather than a witness, is if you get taken outside of what you know, you kind of get left holding the bag and you sit there and feel kind of stupid because someone asks a question you can't answer and you say, I don't know. And then you're done. You don't want to do it anymore. And a lot of people don't do it because of fear of that happening. And so let's talk about that approach to witnessing this morning. So, as we talked about witnesses versus experts last episode, let's talk about the method. Now, this idea of a routine, a sales pitch, a rehearsed presentation, as we talk in this episode, please know that I am not attacking nor denigrating that approach completely. There are strengths to it. There are places where it can be very effective. And so I'm not trying to just tear down some of the work that has been done there, because there's been some very good work of helping people know how to explain things in a way that's clear and understandable. And in that way, a prepared presentation is a very good thing, because if there is information that needs to be conveyed, doing it clearly and understandably is a plus. And so we're obviously not against clearly and carefully and correctly sharing information. So that is not what is at issue. What is at issue is the fact that so often we have ended up with only the presentation. And the problem with that is that one size does not always fit all. In fact, it rarely does. Now, many of us, just we go to Walmart or whatever and we buy our clothes. And it's the oftentimes the most inexpensive way for us to get clothing. And so, of course, we don't have one size fits all, but you just find the size that fits you closest. Now, when it comes to shoes, a closer fit is all the more important, so they have more sizes. You know, like a t-shirt might come in like five sizes, you know, small, medium, large, extra large, maybe extra, extra large, once in a while, extra, extra, extra large. So you get, you know, four or five sizes. Shoes, A, they have two different sets of sizes. They have women's sizes and men's sizes, and then they have, you know, seven, seven and a half, eight, eight and a half, nine, nine and a half. You have way more because you need to get closer to a good fit. I remember as a kid, I hated when mom and dad would take me shoe shopping. And of course, as I was growing, I had to go shoe shopping a lot because my feet kept changing size. But if a shoe was too big, it was too big and it was bad for your feet. And if it was too small, it hurt and you couldn't wear it. And so you had to find a shoe. And so then there would all be, you know, the squeezing of the toe, you know, squeezing. And you're like, oh, oh, yeah, okay, I got it. You nailed my big toe. Yes, you found where my foot is in the shoe. And it was just, oh, I hated it. And I don't have to do that much anymore because now my feet haven't grown in years. They're just, they're the size. And I know what size shoe I wear. And I just go in and I take that size shoe and I double check. And most of the time, yeah, we're good. And I'm on my way. But that's because each of us is different. So now when it comes to how God relates to us, if we understand from the Bible that God knows each of us, and the Bible says he knows us so intimately that he knows, he says, listen, I have numbered the number of hairs on your head. And for some of us, maybe that's a low count. Mine's, I don't have as many as I used to. But that's an intimate level of knowledge. And if God cares about us on that intimate a level, then doesn't that mean that he's going to relate to us in an intimate way? And an intimate way is really the opposite of one size fits all. Well, do we have any more biblical support for this idea that God comes to us and he comes to us as people, not as one size fits all customers? Well, if you look through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible, and you just watch Jesus, just watch how he interacts with people, and what you will see is it's very hard to discern a pattern of presentation. While he says many of the same things, he doesn't say them the same way, he doesn't say them in the same order, and he doesn't always say the same things. Every time, whatever group he's reacting to, he reacts to differently. And one real glaring example is two different rich men who came to him. And these two rich men, they were very rich, but other than that, they were really, really different. One rich man was a good guy. He was your typical Sunday school success story. He'd been raised as a religious Jew. He had been taught the law, and since he was a child, he had sought to follow it and had been pretty successful, according to him. And we never see Jesus question him on that and say, well, that's not really true. So we can take maybe his testimony at face value that he really is a good kid, good now young man. He's done well. He's very morally upright, and he's rich. And the Bible account doesn't tell us how he got rich. But apparently he got rich while being a good guy and following the law. And he comes to Jesus and he says, what's left? I feel like maybe I'm missing something. What else do I need to do? Because I've been good, but is there something else? And Jesus first, he quizzes him and says, well, did you follow the law and all that? And he says, yeah, I've done all that. Well, of course, Jesus knows that. He's trying to help, again, take this guy to a place to understand that it's not about being just good. Jesus says, well, you're only missing one thing. Go and give all your money to the poor, and then come follow me. And Jesus had told others, listen, following me, I'm homeless. I mean, when he called his disciples, some of his disciples were fishermen, and they had to put down their nets and follow Jesus. And so Jesus says to this guy, give away your money to the poor and come follow me. And it says the guy walked away sad because he had a lot. And he wasn't willing to part with it. But then there was another guy, and this guy was also a rich guy, but we know how he got rich. He was a tax collector. And the Bible makes it very clear that this guy was a tax collector and he was rich. So I'll tell you, this guy, that tells us this guy is not a religious Jew. I mean, he may have some, you know, he probably does do some of the religious stuff. But he's not devout like this other guy was. Because if you're a tax guy and you're rich, there's only one way those two things go together, and that's cheating. Some people cheat on their taxes. He cheats on your taxes. And he has accumulated a large amount of money. And he's rich. And he wants to just see Jesus. He is attracted to Jesus because he's interested in him, because Jesus is a phenomenon. And so he's short. He can't see over the crowd. So he climbs a tree. Some of us have heard of this guy just because there's a song about him. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbs a sycamore tree just so he can see Jesus, because the parade's coming by. Here comes Jesus. He wants to see him. But Jesus knows he's there because he's God, and Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to eat at your house today. You need to get down out of that tree because I'm coming to dinner. And Zacchaeus scrambles down, and he's eager to receive Jesus. And just the fact that Jesus pays attention to him and sees him, this man who probably had a bit of little man syndrome, and his power was through his power over his countrymen, almost as a traitor for the government, and he's cheated people out of money, and that's his power. And there's no record of Jesus telling Zacchaeus what to do, but by the end of the meal, Zacchaeus is a changed man, and he says, I'm going to give away half of my money, and anyone who I've cheated, I'm going to pay back four times what I took. Now, that's still probably a lot of money. And Jesus says, that's awesome. Salvation has come to this house today. But do you notice how different this was from the other rich guy? The other rich guy just said, give away everything. This guy gave away half plus. But they were different. Their hearts were different. Zacchaeus, it probably wasn't about the money. I think the big thing about Zacchaeus was the power and the cheating. He had to relinquish his cheating. The other guy, it was about his money, and he had to relinquish that. But Jesus understood the differences in these people. He understood the differences in these guys, and that's where he met them, where they were at. Because he cared about where they were at. He knew what their issue was. And we're going to talk about that more in our next episode and look at, well, what does it mean when he comes and meets you at that point? But this is why Jesus was good at the custom fit. If you want to spend a lot of money on clothes, you want to get a nice suit, you go to a tailor and they measure you. And they give you a piece of clothing that was made for you. And Jesus comes to each of us and he meets us in our life. That's why he came to earth. He didn't just issue a one-size-fits-all proclamation from heaven. And the broad contours are always the same, that we come to Jesus. We accept his love and forgiveness, his gift of grace to us. And we'll talk about that again next episode. But he comes to each of us individually and says, I love you. And it's not a one-size-fits-all message. And as churches, we need to beware of relying too heavily on a one-size-fits-all message and not knowing the individual and knowing where they're at and meeting them at their point of need, because that's what Jesus did. He met each person, and instead of just having a formula, he cared about each individual. And that is the God who loves you. You are not a number. He loves you. Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North J. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.